Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Stormy, windy today. I always think of how the Lord Jesus likened the moving of the Spirit of God to the wind. And we hear the wind, not quite sure which direction it's going in or coming from, but we're conscious of its movement out there. Can't see it, but we feel its power at times. And so it is with the wonderful Spirit of God. May we know Him moving amongst us here today, moving our hearts, blowing upon us, so that we feel His power. Luke chapter 18. We're moving on a little further in our study, although we still haven't really got beyond verse 10. Two men went up into the temple to pray. Two men went down to the temple to pray. Now, there were hundreds, thousands who had gone to the temple in Jerusalem to pray, but the Lord Jesus saw two men in particular. Nothing happens that He doesn't notice and see. And the Lord has had His eye upon these two men. It's a parable, I know, but I have no doubt it illustrates just what it is the Lord observes whenever men gather to pray. We ought to remember here, just by way of introduction to the subject this morning, that prayer was the chief purpose of the temple. A lot of things went on in the temple that God had ordained. Every day, sacrifices, quite a number of them, stipulated by the Lord, the morning and the evening sacrifice. As well as that, then, there were those who were coming to offer sacrifices. So it was a very busy place, but the chief purpose was prayer. Over in the next chapter, if you just turn over your page to the verse 46 of chapter 19 of Luke, the Savior says, "It is written, my house is the house of prayer." And I've just learned something. You know, boys and girls, you should never read your Bible, but you will learn something. And I've just learned something. In my mind, whenever I thought of these words, I always envisaged the Savior as saying, "My house is a house of prayer." But He doesn't say that. He says, "My house is the house of prayer." It's the place of prayer. And we ought ever to remember that the house of God is the house of prayer. That's the primary function of this building, prayer. Now there are other things go on, important things, but chiefly this should be a place of prayer. This should be a place of prayer. A place where men meet with God and talk with God. Tell me, this is important. Do you talk with God? Do you have a relationship with God? Over the years, in school, teachers, not very often, in fact, I can't think of an occasion when this would have happened, but over the years I'm sure there were times when teachers noticed she's not talking with her, or he's not talking with him. Have they fallen out? Have they had a bit of a row? And the matter has been observed, and when it was appropriate, the teacher intervened and said, "What's going on here? What's wrong?" Because it's not good to have pupils quarrelling like that. And there are always efforts to sort the matter out. And let me tell you, if you don't talk to God, there's something wrong. Something so desperately wrong that it needs to be sorted out. It's one thing to fall out with someone in school and not talk to them. It's another thing not to talk to God, not to have a right relationship with Him so that you're talking to Him. Christians need to ever remember this. There should never go by one day in which we don't talk with the Lord. In fact, there should never go by one hour in which we don't talk with God. Not one hour. The great preacher of the 1800s was a Baptist preacher in London called C.H. Spurgeon. He was a Baptist preacher, but you know, no matter what your denomination is, you feel that old Spurgeon belonged to you. He was such a wonderful man. And on the question of prayer, he one time said something that may sound surprising to some people. He said, "You know, I never pray for more than a few minutes when I'm praying." But then he said, "There's never more than a few minutes between each prayer. So he was saying, I'm always conversing with the Lord. Not non-stop, but continually. Just the way you would if you were in someone's company. Were walking on a journey with someone that you knew and you loved. You would converse with them back and forward. You would speak, then they would speak. Then you would speak, and then they would speak. And maybe there would be moments of quietness when nobody spoke, but it wasn't too long until you were back talking. That's how it ought to be between us and the Lord. We ought to be often in prayer, boys and girls. Have you prayed today? I hope you prayed while the principal was opening the assembly this morning, and she prayed. I hope you prayed. I hope you were there, as it were. And as she spoke with the Lord, you said, yes, Lord, that's what I would like as well. Yes, Lord, do that for me, too. Joining in the conversation. It's a living evidence of our relationship with God. Two men went up into the temple to pray. That's the chief purpose of the temple, and prayer is the chief part of worship. It's the chief part of worship. We ought to be in a spirit of prayer from the beginning of a service to the end of a service. We certainly ought to be praying along with the minister as he leads in prayer. And remember, that's what he's doing. He is leading us in prayer. And we're supposed to be following, agreeing with, and saying amen in our hearts, if not out loud with our lips, to what he is saying. When we're singing hymns, we ought to be praying. As we sing the Psalms of David, we should be saying, Lord, I'm one with David in what he says here in the Psalm. Lord, do it for me, whenever we sing a request in a Psalm. We ought to be in agreement, and the hymns should be prompting us to pray. And then when it comes to preaching, likewise, as we're listening to the Word of God, we should be responding, do that for me, Lord. Or, Lord, I see I have failed. Forgive me. Take away my sins. Cleanse me. There should be a conversation ongoing throughout our worship. We're not always singing, but we should always be praying. It's a feature that's absent in many instances from worship today, because much that passes for worship is not Christian worship at all. So, here we have two men going up to the temple to pray. When a person prays, it tells us that they believe in the existence of God, or at the very least, they're acknowledging the existence of God. When a person prays, they are doing that which they believe they are obligated to do. That is, to give honor to God and to acknowledge His glorious person and the fact that He rules over all and He is the fountainhead of all good. Hebrews chapter 11 and the verse 6 says this, but without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is. So when you come to God, you are saying, I believe that God exists, that He is in existence, that He is what and who He says He is. That's what you're expressing when you come to prayer. And again, when you come to pray, you're saying something else. You're saying, I am coming because I hope to obtain from Him all that I need in life. That verse I read to you, verse 6 of Hebrews 11, I didn't read it all because there's a wee bit at the end. And it says, he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that seek Him. See that? When you come in prayer, you're coming, if you're coming earnestly and honestly and sincerely, you're coming because you believe God rewards those who seek Him. I was just reading this morning part of the daily reading set out by Murray McShane in his Bible reading calendar. I hope you know a wee bit about that calendar. Well, one of the chapters set out today deals with Joseph. Been reading his story in the days up to now, and a sad story it is. Poor old Joseph suffered a lot, and he would have been in jail for a long time, maybe 12 years or thereabouts. And then when he was 30, God brought about a change. And we read about Pharaoh's dream. Do you remember? The fat cattle, the skinny cattle that ate up the fat cattle. The fat ears of corn and the skinny ears of corn that devoured the fat ears of corn. And he didn't know what this all meant. And the butler remembered, he remembered how when he was in prison and he had dreamed, the young Hebrew by the name of Joseph, he had told him perfectly what his dream meant, as well as his companion, the baker. He told him what his dream meant. And what Joseph had said had come true. The butler was restored and the baker was taken out and hung. And the butler, on hearing Pharaoh lamenting about these dreams he had, and he couldn't understand them, and the wise men of Egypt, they couldn't help. He suddenly remembered Joseph. And he acknowledged, you know, how wrong he had been to forget Joseph. For Joseph had said, the last things he said to him was, remember me and use your influence to get me out of prison. But he hadn't. We're often ungrateful, boys and girls. People do favors for us, do great things for us, and we never really show any gratitude. But above all, God does favors for us. Here you are today in school, up. You're alive this morning, kept throughout the hours of darkness. You're alive this morning, brought here. Some of you journeyed a number of miles, safe. God did that. The Lord bless you. But how often we never think about this. And like the butler, we never remember the kindness that has been shown to us. Well, he tells Pharaoh, and you know how it was. Pharaoh sent for Joseph. Joseph told him what the dreams were. And as a result, Pharaoh says, I'll tell you, you're the man to look after the affairs of Egypt now that they're are 7 years of plenty, which will be followed by 7 years of real famine. You're the man to set things in order so that we don't starve during the 7 years of famine. And Joseph is exalted to the second person in the kingdom. Isn't that a wonderful change? Here he has been a prisoner in jail, doing what he was commanded to do by the man in charge of that section of the jail. He's just a slave. And like that, he's the second person in the kingdom. Everybody is in subjection to him. And in truth, Pharaoh is in subjection to him because Pharaoh does what Joseph says should be done. And that all happened in one day. One day. What changes God can bring about, boys and girls, in a person's life. And we're told about Joseph by the Lord in order that we might recognize this. We sing a hymn, we'll have to sing it sometime. What a wonderful change in my life has been wrought since Jesus came into my heart. That means an awful lot to many of us. It means a lot to me. I remember the change. Well, part of the change that came into the life of Joseph was that he organized the whole country and had them store all the surplus grain, put it carefully away, so that when the 7 good years had passed, and then there came the 7 lean years when really nothing grew. There was a store of food that the people could come to. But in order to get at that store, the people had to come to Joseph. Didn't go to Pharaoh. They had to come to Joseph. He was the one appointed. He was the one appointed. And you know, we have to come to the Lord to find our needs supplied. Nobody else. No one else. God has appointed the Lord Jesus as the one who will supply all our needs. All our needs. So, if a person prays, they're indicating that they believe God will hear them and answer them and supply their needs. And there was something of that in the fact that these two men went up to pray. They were testifying to the fact that we believe God answers prayer. We believe that. Now, we'll go on to examine exactly how they prayed. But before we do that, let me say this. If, on the other hand, a person doesn't pray, maybe I'm talking about someone here, you never pray. Even when the teacher is opening in prayer in the morning, even when the teacher is opening in prayer in the morning, you're not praying. You're not listening, you're not joining in, your heart is not in agreement, your mind is wandering everywhere. You're outside the school altogether. You're doing things in your mind, recalling what you did yesterday, where you were last night, and what it is you hope to do after school today. That's where your mind is, wandering about everywhere and not praying. Do you know what you're saying when you do that? You're saying, I don't believe in prayer. I don't believe God is listening. Maybe you're going even further and you're saying, I don't believe there is a God. In actual fact, in truth, that is what you are saying. You have a view of God that is not a proper view of God. If you can, when others are speaking with the Lord and in His presence, if you can stand by and ignore that, then you don't believe in the God of the Bible. You don't believe that God is as He says He is. Otherwise, you wouldn't dare to have such an attitude while prayer is taking place. You wouldn't. Oftentimes in the news we see pictures of Her Majesty the Queen out on visits, and everybody's very eager to see her, and very unlikely, but nevertheless, just a possibility, you might get speaking to her. She may come across and say something. I have yet to see someone standing there in the crowd as the Queen comes over to them. I have yet to see someone saying, ah, it's only the Queen, who'd be bothered listening to her, looking at her. Where's my phone to see what's on? No, you don't see that. But you do see that amongst those who are in the presence of God. They pay no heed to the fact that they are in the presence of God. And they ignore Him and ignore the conversation between others who are speaking with the Lord. Oh, how sad that is, because if you don't pray, you're like the one that's referred to in Psalm 14, the very first verse, the fool. And that word refers to a person who has no sense. No sense. The fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. There is no God. And when you're in a place of prayer, and others around you are praying, and you're not praying, you're a fool, for you're saying in your heart, no God, they're wasting their time. I'm not going to join in, but I don't believe there's any good in praying to the Lord. David said to his son Solomon, and I leave these words with you. This is 1 Chronicles chapter 28 and the verse 9 for you older ones. And thou, listen to me now, and thou Solomon, my son, know thou the God of thy father, and serve Him with a perfect heart and with a willing mind, for the Lord searcheth all hearts and understandeth all the imagination of the thoughts. If thou seek Him, He will be found of thee, but if thou forsake Him, He will cast thee off forever. Oh, boys and girls, listen to those solemn words. Here's the words of a concerned father to a son. If you seek the Lord, you'll find Him. And finding Him, you'll know His kindness and mercy and blessing. But if you forsake Him, He will cast you off forever. Cast you off forever. How you live today and tomorrow will have everlasting consequences. We never think of that. We never think of that. That what I think, what I say, what I do at this moment will have everlasting consequences. But it's true. As you live today, so you're mapping out your eternity. If you live today to ignore God, reject God, refuse His word, to disobey God, you're mapping out your eternity. It'll be cast off forever. Oh, heed these things. Heed these things. Two men went up into the temple to pray. Do you pray? Do you pray? Not just when the teacher's praying, or when the minister's praying, or when the Sabbath school teacher is praying, but do you pray? Do you ever go down to your own room in your home and talk with the Lord? Oh, I hope you do. He wants you to. Do just that. Well, let's bow in prayer now, please. Oh God, our Heavenly Father, we sang a hymn this morning that ended up, Lord, teach me to pray. Lord, give us a heart that seeks after Thee, that desires Thy presence and Thy company, that loves to hear Thy voice, Lord. Speak to the boys and girls, please. If they're not saved today, may they sense the absence of God in their lives. And may they feel the dreadfulness of such an absence. Please, Lord, speak through thy word this day and bless our school in all its needs. For, Lord, thou art the supplier of all our needs and a rewarder of them that diligently seek thee. Answer prayer for us, we ask, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.